-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello and welcome to Super Bowl week, sports fans, and welcome to -3 presented as ever by Omaha. We're in Los Angeles getting right for the Super Bowl over there in Vegas. If you haven't heard, it's the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Many storylines emerging there. Many storylines emerging in the home of one Joey Mulinaro, our great pal and frequent guest here on the -3 podcast. Who better to talk to? He and his pals Patrick Mahomes and all the rest of them paying a visit to us in just a second here. Very quickly, though, a quick reminder, we did take last week off. Why? Because there were no football games. There was a Pro Bowl thing. It wasn't a football game exactly. I guess it was a flag football game. But we did either way take the week off from the 15-minute pregame show, of course, with a football game on the slate, that aforementioned one, Super Bowl 58 upcoming. We will have that for you. It should be out around midnight on Thursday/Friday morning. We'll go through all the best props. We'll tell you who's going to win that game. All the rest of it, me, Kevin Hench, and Eddie Spaghetti. Of course, Eddie Spaghetti there behind the glass. He and Jen Piacenti getting you ready on Waiver Wired. Spaghetti also on Trendy with Toby Mergler this week, also covered in Glory for the soccer enthusiasts out there. Lemon Pepper Parlay with Mark Gunnels and Martin Weiss getting you right as their Chiefs-friendly podcast over there. Go check that one out. And then Extra Points with me and Sarah Tiana. Go back if you want to hear Rob Riggle, super fan of the Chiefs, weighing in on the stakes for Mahomes, Andy Reid, and all the rest of them. And in fact, the people who like to go to Arrowhead on their Sundays. But now, let's say hello to our guy. We have a lot to talk about, and it's not just these two teams in the Super Bowl. There's a lot of news going down in pro football and beyond. So let's do it with our guy, Joey Mulinaro.
Dave, hey, what's up?
There he is.
So
come on in here.
So how good to be here. I can't believe I'm on Super Bowl week. Nonetheless, I'm thrilled. I'm honored to be here. It's a big week for football. It's a big week for everybody, man. It's a big week for America. It's America's holiday in my mind. It is the Super Bowl, and it should be the day after. But just super happy to be here.
Yeah, you've gotten to be. Since the last time we spoke, have you mastered the impression I asked you to do, which is Rich Little? I want you to get a great impression of the foremost impressionist. Maybe, I guess that would be in the 21st century with you being the one or 1A like Frank Caliendo. If you could master a Frank Caliendo, that would be something.
I've not gotten there, but like I said, it's because, you know, when Rich Little, Frank Caliendo, even like to be, I'm not in that, but what I'm saying is that when people do what we do, and part of what we do, it's so observational that I don't think that any of us have something that you can pick up on, really, because our whole existence, my whole existence, is nothing but observing and trying to figure out what are the little tiny intricacies, what are the little things everybody does. So I feel like I'm unimpressionable because I'm so focused on trying to pick up the character for everybody
else. I'm so unimpressionable that I can't pick it up on other things. Was that good, Spaghetti? Did I nail it? Was that that's the first Joey impression ever? That's when you've arrived, friend. It's not an insult.
Yeah.
No, right, it's an homage to you. Speaking of homages, very quickly, before we get into all the rest of it, and by the way, this could be the most special podcast in the history of people. If this thing breaks just right, and when I say this thing, I mean Joey's wife's water, because she is pregnant with their second child.
Yes.
It could come at any minute. And if it Literally. Would happen on this show, that would be great for us. Can you make that happen, Joe?
You know, I've been trying. Dave, I've been trying to walk this thing out. I've been trying to only suggest the spiciest foods.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Like, if they're those kind of old world things that work. Like, like hot bath. I don't know.
Yeah. Doing all that stuff, trying to drink as much water. I'm just shoving the water down her, you know, so that we can get the water to break for her. The induction date is February 13th. So now the Czech Republic and everybody knows that we got a deadline. We got a hard line that we're going in, and then that baby's coming out. But at any moment, that's what our doctor told us last week. At any moment, It could be happening. So, yeah, little girl. Now I need to real quick. I need to pick your brain if I could,
right?
Because your father. We know that you have many young Damashek's running around there. Do you have any advice for a first time girl dad?
I think, first of all, the girl dad stuff is overstated and a little bit weird, as though it's an achievement to have a female, a child of a female gender, and people give themselves great credit for this. I'm not sure exactly why. Do you have the little boy with you right there as we speak?
I do. He's going to say hi. Can you say hi? There we
What's
go.
Up? There he is. Little Bubby, right? Is that what you name? Ouija? Is that his name? Uh-huh. Fast Willy?
Little Fast Willy Molinaro. Yeah. Yeah, that's him. But
there he is. Look at that.
Yeah,
he's going to love it. Oh, he's going to love little sister after the early going. There will be some rough patches. Probably he'll be confused by her presence. Not on the first day. He'll be like, OK, yeah, that's what's been inside mama this whole time. Uh-huh. But then like day four, he's going to start giving her the stink eye, like still around. Huh? We're just going to go on with this kind of crap, you know. So it's cute for a minute, but now it's treading on my space. Yes. As someone once said to me, get ready because you can no longer play zone. Now it's man to man. You know, you're like you and the wife are going to have your own assignments there. So get ready for that. I think the thing with having a girl is I think about, you know, now I have a 16-year-old girl. So the prom hasn't arrived yet for her in her life. But I do think, you know, the old jokes about like, hey, she's not going to go on a date till she's 40. Like, I'm going to go to the front door when a gentleman suitor's there. I'm going to go with a shotgun. And
yeah, just happened to be cleaning off my guns today when you stopped by there, Johnny. Yeah.
All that kind of stuff is valid. I get it. You don't want to think of your little daughter like that.
Sure.
On the other hand, isn't that perhaps better than the alternative? Like, I don't want. Because when the prom comes around next year, I would be devastated if she's like, no one wants to take me to the prom. Oh, can we go together? Like, I'd be crying too hard to take her. I would ruin my tuxedo with my tears of sorrow that somehow I'd done something wrong. So I don't know. I guess you want to kind of thread the needle there. You don't want either of those two extremes to play out. That's not really advice, though, is it?
No, well, it is. But I think like you're absolutely right on that front. Would much rather have the kid coming to the door to take a little girl out on a date. Now, I think the way I think about it, and I'm already prepping myself, is that I try to put myself eventually in said 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old, perhaps fella, who's coming to pick up my little girl. Think about those days when you, how terrified you were to go up to the front door, to shake the old man's hand, you know, to have the small talk, terrible awkwardness going on while you're there to pick up his daughter. You want a nice guy who's maybe going to give you a little pat on the back, crack a joke at your expense, right? But not be a, you know, not be a hard, you know?
I think, right. And, you know, you talk about the extremes, like, yeah. Being a hardo dad with the cleaning the shotgun and everything else, I also would be uncomfortable if it were one of those dads like, get it, let's do a shot. I know it's unorthodox, but if you're going to get drunk, I'd rather you do it. And like,
yes,
I didn't grow up in one of those houses, so I always found that to be a little bit unusual.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you want to figure out the name right now, we can do that too. You know, we have nothing but time.
Please, I'd love to hear. When number one was not yet born, you sent a couple my way, and I chat them over with the wife. So I'd love to hear thoughts on number two here.
Okay, you know what? Let's involve the entire Czech Republic. Weigh in, send Joey and the missus your suggestions. And remember, a big factor is the surname. Damashek is clunky. You can't put anything in front of Damashek and have it sound good. You got to thread the needle with that. Like if you have a monosyllabic surname like Smith, the world's your oyster. Put whatever you want in front of there. Damashek is more limiting, as is Molinaro in its own ethnic way. So, all right, let me figure that all out. And let's move on to something else as we talk about the circle of life and then jump into some football talk here. As the Molinaro home is about to be graced with the beginning, the world lost the heavyweight champion of the world, the one, the only, Apollo Creed. And I was legitimately devastated. And those within the sound of my voice who know will understand and appreciate that the first text I got was from none other than David Feeney. Who better to hear from when something like this happens? We loved Creed unironically, obviously Predator and all the rest of it. But he played the champ. He played Creed, who, for the record, if there's any debate, you don't even remember Creed. You didn't even see him in his prime, baby Molinaro. Who are you to chime in on that crap, right? Stick to Tyson Fury and whoever's going now, whoever the big ticket name is now. You don't know about Creed, not in his prime, not about the Count of Monte Fisto when he was right. Now, when we met Creed, we meet Balboa. Creed's past his prime. He's in his last days as the champ. You know, he's Leon Spinks era Ali when we meet Creed. You know, a couple more paydays and that's it for him. Make no mistake, though. In their respective primes, Creed beats all. He beats Clubber Lang, but good. He beats Drago. How do I know he could beat Drago, even though he lost? First of all, he showed up that night when he was put in the ring in that Vegas show to fight. He showed up, Creed did, for an exhibition that night. Drago had malintent. He murdered a man. He should have been charged with manslaughter. And I don't think I'm going too far by saying that. Creed wasn't in shape. He wasn't working out for that fight. He wasn't getting right. He thought they'd throw a couple hands lightly at each other and say their goodnights and collect their paycheck. Drago showed up wanting to hurt somebody, and he did. He killed a man that night, and so it went. That has no reflection on a Creed who is right and ready for that fight. He would have vanquished him, and you know what? If he had been in his prime, he would have devastated Balboa, too. How say you, Molinaro?
Yeah, that's quite, you know, I wouldn't say plot hole. It's certainly a hole in Rocky IV, how we kind of, you know, we put Apollo Creed to rest. And then from there, it's just kind of the fallout of, you know, Rocky dealing with it, you know, and he's going on the drive and you have Tepper's music going over. Right. But then they don't really ever, you know, you don't really ever show Drago or his wife dealing with what they're going to have to do, you know, while they're in foreign land, mind you. So is that what it was? They were just like immune because they weren't citizens. And so they had to go back and we would have had to like what's the phrase when you have to bring somebody from overseas? Is that what happened?
Wait a second. I had never thought about the fact that Drago, he's more machine than man. He's all juiced up. They're putting the spike into his arm to make him something other than a natural human being before his big prize fights here. But he still is human at the end of the day, and he killed a man. Isn't there some spiritual tumult that he's going through before the Balboa bout?
I don't think so.
Killed a man. He killed an American hero. Do you think he feels good about that?
Kinda. Obviously. But yeah, like, I don't know what the legality is there. Like, if we have to extradite. That's what I'm looking at. You have to extradite him back over here to then try to charge him for what he did in the ring. Is it because it's a physical, hey, you're beating each other's heads in? That's just kind of the risk that it takes. Like, you know, if somebody gets in a race car, you know, and the Indy 500, God forbid, but if, you know, turn two, they go flying into the wall and they don't make it out alive. I mean, that's happened plenty of times way back in the day. I don't know if you charge somebody who, right? So there's a lot of different things there. But I will agree with you that we do not ever get to see the peak Apollo, but I think my favorite part is Rocky III, when Apollo Creed swallows his pride, goes to Rocky, says, hey, I'm going to get you right. We were rivals. You kind of put me, you know, you kind of put the final nail in my coffin, right, of my heyday. But I'm going to take you under my wing here and I'm going to get you right. And you see him become Coach Apollo. And that to me was always so fascinating. I loved it so much. And yeah, talk about the first on-screen death that really messed you up. I mean, Apollo, when he went down, golly, man, that's it still stings with me. So now that the actual fella, Carl Weathers, has passed on, You got a little twofer there, a little double.
And we lost Pauly. We lost Pauly not a couple of months ago. The late great Burt Young. Franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. I've told you, well, it's been well documented on this show, Happy Gilmore, how much it means to me. So Chubbs Peterson,
yep,
I mean,
yep.
It was a very, very sad day, no doubt.
I just have to say about Pauly, there is no character arc in the history of film that is more sweeping than that of Pauly's. When we meet him, he is an abusive elder sibling taking care of his sister. It's got something wrong with her. Like she, by the way, she also
he's getting taken care of. She's taking care of him.
She takes care of him, but it's implied that she has to live with him, maybe because the state stepped in and said she can't care for herself. It's uncertain what's going on there too. And then Balboa takes a shine to her and takes her ice skating, and she doesn't seem completely lucid. And, you know, to your point, when they're on the beaches of Santa Monica, she's given pep talks, fiery pep talks. So she comes a long way too, but not as much as Pauly does, because he's this abusive sibling. He's so mad. He throws her Thanksgiving turkey on the ground, like in the house. That's a horrible thing to do to anybody, let alone your sister who toiled for you to celebrate the holiday. And then he becomes this lovable figure by the end. By the way, watch him in Rocky III. When they go to those L.A. gyms to train Creed style, he makes some very off-color remarks. He makes some very inappropriate remarks that would not be winsome for a character in the 21st century.
Very, very off-color, to say the least. See, I thought that Adrian was just like really shy, and she was very timid because of what she was dealing with in her home background and having to deal with Pauly, who is verbally and kind of physically abusive. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with her. I thought that she was just incredibly shut off and shy.
I think so, but I think that we're supposed to perceive, or that the state or some authorities deemed her incapable of caring for herself as a child.
I haven't picked up on that.
That's what I'm taking away. And if you want to turn this into, instead of any football talk, we can just spend the rest of our time together talking about Talia Shire, who also is an abused sister in a movie called The Godfather, which I'm fascinated with by the circumstances of her husband, Carlo, being such a criminal mastermind that the whole phone call from the mistress at the house that sets her off, and throwing the plates everywhere, and he smacks her around, that then launches Sonny to drive to the causeway and get killed. This is all set up by Carlo. This is, you know, it's organized crime, but this is very organized crime that they had it down to a T the way they did. But you know what? Let's not do that. And instead, I'm going to tell you my story. I've told it a million times. I'm going to tell you for the million and first now.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, a few years back, David Feeney and I, huge, huge, you know, Balboa historians, obviously steeped in the Rocky 1, 2, 3, and 4 documentaries, less 5 and beyond. Shout out to the movie Creed doing the prequel of Apollo Creed in his prime. How about that? I thought that's when I heard Creed was being made. I assumed it was going to be the backstory of the greatest champion in the history of people, but let's do that now. Anyhow, David Feeney and I are having a nice dinner in downtown Los Angeles. We look up at the bar. Who's there? Dressed in a black suit with a black button shirt underneath, looking exactly like you would want the heavyweight champion to look. There he is, Apollo Creed, with a smart cocktail in his mitt. We said, well, listen, waiter, a drink, if you please, for the champ. We send him one over, and before you know it, he's hovering over our table. And he said, I had to come over here and thank you too for being gentlemen. And then he fielded every question we had. All about it. How would you have done against Lang? What would have gone down between you and Drago? And like, you didn't show up ready for that fight, and everybody knows it. And this is all nonsense that somehow it's damaged your legacy, Creed. All that kind of stuff. He fields them all with a plum and then returns to the bar. You know, later on, we wrap up our dinner and the bill comes. We see that Creed has added another drink to our bill. He went wild with excitement and support for the move. What were we going to do? Creed did the math. He's a genius, you understand. These two mooks, what are they going to do? They're going to say no. They're going to refuse to pay for the drink. Maybe I'll put a filet mignon on there, too, if they ain't careful. I thought it was such a legendary move. And he was such a nice guy to come over and kibitz with us and all of that. It was the great that combined with my other exchange with the heavyweight champ of the world. Once Jimmy Kimmel took the entire Kimmel staff randomly one night of the week, just like, we're all going. We got buses outside. Let's go to Dodger Stadium. And we all loaded up and we went to see the Dodgers play. And I have no idea why, but Leon Spinks was with us. I couldn't explain why Leon Spinks, who vanquished Ali in round about 79-80, I think somewhere around there, to briefly claim the heavyweight belt before Ali took it back from him. He was in our midst. Again, no idea why, but somehow he was directly in front of me in the seats. And at one point he stood up during the game and I had the singular opportunity and I took it. I yelled, "Down in front, the champ!" It was the best to yell. Imagine to be able to yell at a champion of the world down in front. It was, you know, one of the top 3 to 5 moments of my life.
How was it received?
He had an unfortunate kind of stiffness at that point in his life. And so he very slowly turned around to regard the person who shouted that to him. And then I just showed him my fist. And that did all the more talking I need, and he sat right down.
There you go. Perfect.
I don't remember
what his response was. Did you not ask for a picture with Carl Weathers?
No, I don't always do that. Are you a big picture guy, autograph guy? I just try to live in the moment when those things are going.
Definitely not autograph, but yeah, I'm doing the math in my head. Like, if he were to come over, as he did, right, and you guys are chatting and it's going well and you're having maybe a couple of laughs and you're already buying the drink, right? So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, so it's on our tab. We're paying. He's been kind enough to come over here and chat a little bit, right? He could have just, you know, raised his glass to us from the bar. And three, maybe I made him laugh. That checks out to me. That's an equation that adds up to, hey, when he's getting ready to leave, hey, champ, can we get a picture real quick? You know, just real quick.
Fist raised, all that. Yeah,
right. Just real quick. You know, you don't have to make a big production of it or anything, but it's just like, hey, would you mind real quick? You know, because to me, in my head, then I'm just like, he's probably like, oh, absolutely. Let's do it. Yeah, no problem. But I understand.
Whoa. Did you just try out a Creed impression here? No. That wasn't your best work there.
No. Don't. See, that's the problem. Is that anytime that I try to just like, you know, do any sort of, you know, situational voice acting, then everybody's just like, I wouldn't release that one yet. Not your best. I'm like, okay, now my life is just the Twitter comment saying the Twitter thread that I get. My family.
I'm a three-dimensional person behind all those voices I give to you, world.
Yeah, when you know, I well documented, you've texted me about it. I get frustrated with Coach Tomlin. I put it out there, you know, and I'm sitting there watching the games with my sister and my brother-in-law and my dad, and I start joking and kind of doing my faux Tomlin post-game press conference, and I'm just doing it to release frustration, right, and poke fun at him, and then they're all, I'd still work on that one a little bit. I'm like, I'm not doing it to get a reaction. I'm just doing the character that, you know, I mean, geez.
That's a victim of your own great success. But I wouldn't mind hearing some Tomlin if you want to give us Tomlin, Roethlisberger, Pickett. Who in the Steelers canon are you working out there for 2024? Maybe there may be a need for Mason Rudolph. Anyway, so that's that on the Apollo Creed talk. And now let's move into some football talk here, shall we? Yes.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Any word from are the contractions starting up? Or how
close I did get a text
they?
From her.
But, you keep it down. Hey. I'm trying to sleep, you loudmouth.
No, Dave, it's like a very nice 49 degree all sunshine day in Indianapolis. Oh. So we're thinking about getting out, freaking running around, taking the boy to the park later. So that's
I'm picking up what you're laying down. All right, we'll pace it up here.
No. She just asked. Anyways, all good. I was just making more of a comment. You're out there in sunny LA having a great time, and it's, you know, 48 degrees here, and we're like, we're gonna take our shirt off, get a tan.
Oh no, I don't know if you've heard, it's a civic emergency. It's been raining for 24 hours in Los Angeles. Shame
that's
the
right.
devil. People are going that's wild right. out here with angst and otherwise.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the football stuff. And you mentioned Southern California. And so let's start there. Where do you come down as a fellow human being on what Caleb Williams is trying to do? It sure sounds like at the time of this recording, he does not want to, and it's publicly more or less stated, Bears don't take me. He wants to go to D.C. He's from Washington, D.C. Now Cliff Kingsbury, who, by the way, is a fascinating figure in the last 5-6 years of pro football too, because zero success in the NFL, obviously a lot of it progressive offensive mind in college, mixed results at best, I would say, and yet was able to strong arm the Arizona Cardinals into, like, I'll take the job, but only if we can take Kyler Murray. But we just took a quarterback last year, coach, in the first, well, that's what it takes to get me. Okay, we got to get the great Cliff Kingsbury in here. His lifetime record of 0-0 in the NFL. We got to get him in here. They do, mixed results. And now the Raiders want him, but it's like, no, I get to pick my spot. I'm moving to DC now because I think I'm going to get Caleb Williams, who I have some track record with. Anyhow, what do you make of this whole thing? Do you think Caleb Williams is right to be playing the game he's playing here?
Well, first with the Kingsbury talk, it is funny to think about that if Cliff Kingsbury looked like Matt Patricia or Steve Belichick, I wonder if he would have the same kind of pull. You know, he's the football version of like the classic senior in high school, super good looking quarterback guy that can just like walk in a classroom and the teacher kind of fawns over him. Well, then you're sitting in there and you're like, why do I always get the shaft here? You know? And it's because, well, you just, you don't have that jawline and that hair and, you know, you don't look like your pecs are nice and in shape when you're wearing a quarter zip. So it is funny how he has really used that to his advantage in his professional career, and good on him. I guess the Caleb Williams thing, so he has publicly said, because I feel like it's all just like hearsay and Cowherd's kind of doing reporting for him. And like, has he officially been like Elway style, I'm not doing Chicago?
Well, by the way, if that is the message, even if it's back channeled to the Bears that he doesn't want to play there, and we can talk about the wisdom of that if you compare the two football situations, and let's do that. But I do think if you're Caleb Williams, like, that punk, who's he think he is? That's not, you go where you're drafted. I generally am going to lean towards the player side of things when these things come down, and you do have to pull back. I understand that foot fans like a certain rhythm to the sports calendar. And so when it gets disrupted, people get scutchy about that. We see that all the time about whatever the subject is. And I think people think like, don't mess with the draft. I like the way the draft goes. And you know, you get that player's rights for 4 or 5 years and all that kind of stuff. But pull back from that. Is that fair? Would that work in any other line of work? Like, you got to go, I guess if you want to be an actor, you have to go to LA or New York, but they're very limited professions that sort of fit that. You kind of, you know, you get to go where you want to go. And so it's a weird paradox that like the best job being a professional athlete is the one that limits where you get to go coming out of the gate. Maybe that's the trade-off you have to make, but either way, history says it works out fine for those guys. You think like, oh man, but Caleb Williams, you'll be hated by a big city in America. Like, all of Chicago will hate you forever. Like, Eli came through clean, all right, didn't he? By forcing his way out of San Diego and going to New York City. Worked out okay for Elway when he refused to sign with Baltimore and go to Denver. The history does indicate that if you're obstinate about like, hey, go ahead and drive me, I ain't signing for you, and I'm not going to put on your uniform no matter what, it's a bad look for both sides of the thing. But at some point, I think it becomes more damning to the franchise. And so go ahead and draft them, Bears. I think he can ultimately be like, how much leverage does a kid have? He has that. You're going to let the first overall pick twist like that all season? Explain that one to Bears fans as you watch Jared Goff and the Lions rule again, and Jordan Love and the Packers rise up and the Vikes and all that. Good luck explaining that in autumn of 2024. I like when teams puff their chest out like, hey, what's he going to do? Sit out? Yeah, it'd be easier for him to sit out than for you to explain to your franchise why you took the guy when he told you in advance he didn't want to play for you, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you just mentioned, you look at the NFC North now, and it's not like been a surprise literally forever. I mean, the whole history of the Bears is defense and very mediocre quarterback play. I mean, they've never been able to figure out the position, no matter who it is, no matter what era it is. And then they bring back Matt Eberflus. They bring back Matt Eberflus, defensive-minded guy, right? So you're not jumping into a situation where you're like, ah, yeah, they're really gonna, hey, I'm a super talent, right? And I'm gonna be the number one overall pick, but I'm still gonna need help. I'm going to the number one. I'm going to the team that has the number one pick, for God's sake. I'm gonna need some development, right? And so you look at the Bears, and yeah, I wouldn't blame them either. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's a great city. Me and you, we both love Chicago. Who doesn't love Chicago, right? Great sports town, great, a lot of stuff to do, right on the lake, beautiful, Wrigley, all of it. Love it. Not a diss on Chicago, the town, but you have to look in the mirror if you're a Bears fan and be like, yeah, quarterback, even if you've got supreme talent, I mean, and we're not doing ourselves any favors right now. You got rid of an OC that wasn't working, right? And all the rage has been about how Getsy, he was the problem. He wasn't the problem. You still got the defensive head coach, which I know a lot of people talk about, and I think it's proven. I've texted you about it. It's like, hey, if you're going to go all in on a quarterback and you're going to have a quarterback, you got to have a guy, whether it's a head coach, whether it's a coordinator, whether it's a specialist, all three preferably, to make sure that this dude is going to develop. And I don't know if you can put your trust in the Bears organization doing that. I just don't. So, yeah,
I agree with all the points you just made about that. And yeah. If you're Caleb Williams being spooked. And by the way, it is fascinating that a franchise, and this happens in certain sports to certain teams, but I think the Bears are rightly at the very top of that list. How can you go 58 years, whatever the position, even if it's punter, but it's the most important position, not just in football, but in all sports, and has been for not for 5 minutes, for like five decades, it's been the most important position. And one franchise just never solves it. Just never. Right. Like the Chicago Bears quarterback of the Super Bowl era, 58 years deep now, is Jay Cutler. That's crazy. That's hard to, you have to try to fail on that level.
Yeah.
And I'll say this to your point about Eberflus. My concern with him is, like, I kind of like him. There are enough examples this millennium that say you can have a defensive minded coach and a high end talent at QB, and those can work. I am with you 100%, though. You better have somebody developing that QB on the offensive side, whether it's the QB coach or the OC or whatever it is. The bigger thing is, it feels to me like Eberflus was, there was some grace involved from Ryan Poles and the Bears in keeping Eberflus here. On some level, I feel bad. I'm not a big advocate of like, fire that guy, get rid of him. But I think in this situation, if you know you wanted Caleb Williams, I think you should have fired Eberflus, because now it sets up of like, what if they're the worst team in the division again? What if they go 5-12 this year? Well, that'll be it for Eberflus, right? Well, that now, Caleb Williams is a year in to his five-year window, assuming they pick up his option there. And now you're in the same mess that you were in with Justin Fields. So I completely get that concern. My concern with the alternative, though, is that it's Washington. What track record? What's exciting you about that? Cliff Kingsbury? Dan Quinn? That feels like
the Dan Quinn hire was weird to me.
Obviously, they've made it clear that we didn't want him. We wanted Ben Johnson screwed us, and so we had to fall back. And then when Mike McDonald didn't work out and all that, it's like, often those do work out. It worked out pretty nicely for USC 25 years ago when Pete Carroll was their 17th choice. And, you know, once in a while, those things work out. Maybe it will. I do think he's a nice, steady hand who's been around forever, and that's got to matter for something. But, you know, outside of it being his hometown, Caleb Williams, I don't think Washington's situation is so juicy. It's like, oh yeah, that's a good operation that I want to get into. Not that Bears mess.
Right. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I mean, I guess if he's looking at it and he's like, well, I'm not going to fall to three. So if it's between my two options of just Chicago and Washington, then I'd rather go home. Right. And kind of have that storyline, have that feel, work with the coach that they just hired that, you know, he's familiar with and comfortable with. I think my problem with Caleb Williams, it isn't anything really about him himself. It's about, like, I saw a list the other day, Dave, of like the top 20 most exciting college football players of all time. And he was like fourth on the list. I mean, he's ahead of like Cam Newton and Vince Young and Deion Sanders. I'm like, hold on. Like, I'm a massive college football fan. I mean, Caleb Williams, yes, he had his highlight plays, but more exciting than Cam Newton, Vince Young, like all the, it's like, it's this Instagram, like driven 2023, 2024 world that I feel like affects how people view Caleb Williams. I'm just like, yeah, he's a hell of a player and a supreme talent, but like, give me Vince Young or Cam Newton any single day on that list.
All right, for a minute, let's move on from the next guy who's going to be the greatest quarterback of all time and instead talk about the guy who it seems like we're ready to give that crown to. I know Brady has more Lombardis one way or the other, no matter what happens on Sunday night. I still think like we are chomping at the bit. I guess it's our impatience collectively. We want to say, you know, these debates about who's the best and all this, it generally comes down to supporting the guy who, when you feel like you are in your existential prime, that's who you have to support. When you're paying the most attention, you want to be able to say, you know, that whole Nike ad campaign that pivoted off of LeBron James, witness, I thought was ingenious. That's what we want. We want to be able to say rightly, or at least be able to claim and not get too much talk about how we're crazy. Like, that's the best of all time, and we got to see it. That makes us feel special, basking in that reflected glory, right?
Yeah, it is interesting. I will say, I love a big Mahomes fan. Big Mahomes guy. I think he's great. I love watching him. I think he just seems like a good dude, despite all the craziness that he has to deal with in his world.
I agree with you. Yeah, he really does.
You know, so I think it's awesome. I got no problem with him, but it is interesting. You know, Tom Brady's got to be sitting there just like, what the hell, man? I did 20 plus years, 7 rings, 1 with 2 different teams. Oh, and by the way, the guy that everybody's crowning over me, I beat him handily when I was 42 years old in my last Super Bowl. Like, so part of me is like, we still need to give Tom Brady a little bit of time here. I think
you are so, you are so right. And the conversation, I think it is because people see Tom Brady and kind of like you were saying about Kingsbury, maybe it's like Brady's handsome and more likable than the other guy responsible for the dynasty, and people didn't like Belichick, and so people aren't that sad for him. I personally feel a little bit bad. He must be like, after everything, after all that, no one wants to hire the right guy, huh? But right, if Brady wanted to be a jerk, he could absolutely go to a microphone like, hey, anybody still want to have that debate about Brady or Belichick? I think it's pretty clear when 12 went away, Belichick looked awfully mortal, didn't he, everybody? I think that's another chip in Brady's favor. Like,
my favorite thing to that, Dave. My favorite thing to that, Dave, that I get all the time on Twitter, and even like my dad, you know, God love him. You know, when I say something about like, yeah, I mean, hey, how about that system, huh? Tom Brady, yeah, he's such a system quarterback with Bill Belichick. Look at what Belichick's been without Brady. Everybody goes back to, without a doubt, look what he did with Matt Castle. He went 12 games with Matt Castle. He went 12 games with Matt Castle 2008. Matt Castle. I'm like, oh yeah, you forgot that's coming off the greatest talented team of all time, which, by the way, Eddie Spaghetti, we know how that ended. You know, he got the last laugh there. But I mean, Matt Castle was playing with prime Wes Welker, rejuvenated prime Randy Moss, a whole slew of running backs that I can't even remember, a dominant defense, Rod Harrison, yeah. Junior Seau, right. William McGay, all these dudes, but everybody's just like, he won 12 games with Matt Castle. I was like, okay, but now the 4 years after, I mean, it's just so annoying. It drives me absolutely nuts, the Matt Castle talk. But yes, it is very
If he had done 5 years with another quarterback, exactly, now I'll have the conversation. That's why I've been promoting the last 3 months to the chagrin of many, Joe Gibbs being left out of the conversation too much when he did it. Not once, not twice, but 3 times with 3 non-Hall of Fame quarterbacks. There's no one in football that comes close to that. I guess, wait, Parcells does it. He gets, I guess he's the best comp to that because he goes Hostetler Sims and almost gets it done with some of the ham and eggers that he did. He almost got it done with Drew Bledsoe. But anyway, okay. Patrick Mahomes, it's fascinating because I feel as though this is a weird year for Mahomes in this sense. He's maybe the GOAT, he's defending champ, everybody holds him up as the best, at least right now, all that. But overshadowed this year by the defense. Then, on a personal level, his tight end has become more famous than he is. And at the same time, Mahomes is the one who has to provide flack for said tight end. Like, he has to defend the tight end and the girlfriend and all the receivers who keep dropping his passes, by the way, and towing the line in a really rugged situation, relatively speaking, for a multimillionaire. Then, as Travis and Jason Kelce become the biggest stars in football, I don't know, but I feel like Taylor, maybe as part of a rider agreement she had in that contract, she had to fix the thing so the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. I don't know if you heard that conspiracy theory. But if it did, she probably added a rider like no Jackson Mahomes in the luxury box. Where's Jackson gone? Like, is Mahomes having some, like, where is he emotionally? Tap into that in Super Bowl week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like in Forrest Gump when he's sitting down there with his mom and they're talking to the teacher, and the teacher says, "Is there Mr. Gump around?" She says, "He's on vacation." That's essentially what Jackson's on. He's just on a really long vacation right now. So he's just going to take a year off, and he's going to enjoy himself a nice long vacation, and we're just going to be focused on what we got to do to win another Super Bowl, because if we do that, then all will be good, fine and dandy, and no one will even pay attention to Jackson. So I'm just focusing on that, but I don't know if you saw the news that my dad, it's a little bit of a rough topic, but you know, I gotta really support everybody here, Shaq. I gotta support my entire family. I gotta support the entire team. I can't take blame off anybody else but myself. I mean, people want to give me a hard time for my dad, Bob, but what do you expect? I mean, I'm the father of like an entire organization and my own family, for God's sake. Like, of course I'm gonna have a dad, Bob.
And what about, as I know you're dealing with a lot, so I don't want to put extra stuff on you to deal with. But you're Patrick Mahomes. You're, like, right, we talk about the GOAT potentially, at least here.
Right.
A little mean-spirited, unnecessary for you to beat up Brock. I mean, he's a little ally. Beating him is gonna burnish your legacy. I feel like it's bullying. How say you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Shaq, I'm not really too worried about it because, like I said, I've got so much to take care of. I didn't even realize we were playing Brock Purdy. I'm more so concerned about Nick Bosa and guys like that who are coming after me. And I know Christian McCaffrey is super good, but, you know, the guy over there, I mean, you know, I don't really like John Harbaugh, and John Harbaugh looks just like him. So I'm kind of glad that I get to go against him and maybe beat John Harbaugh 2 weeks in a row. But, you know, best of luck to Brock and everything like that. I guess, you know, he's an underdog story and whatnot. Everybody wants to forget about how I was an underdog story. Nobody believed in me. But here I am, you know, back in the Super Bowl again. It's kind of like being in Vegas. The house always wins, and I'm the house.
That was a good one, Pat. I mean, really not comparable. You were a first-round draft pick. I mean, he was Mr. Irrelevant, so you're not really equating yourself with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, but nobody believes in us, Shaq. I mean, it's just like, you know, we've been in the Super Bowl last 3 years out of four, but still coming in this year and coming in the playoffs, you know, everybody even listened to this show. Everybody was kind of already saying like, oh, yeah, it's kind of a down year for Mahomes, down year for the Chiefs, but here we are again. So no one believed in us. No one ever believed in us. No one still believes in us right now. You know, we're kind of having a no one believes us off with San Francisco because they're against all odds and we're no one believes in us, but somehow we're here. It's pretty crazy.
I think it's fun. Yeah. It is weird that no one believes in you, either team, because you both were, like, I mean, you're the defending champs and you have you on the team. And then the other side was like the number one seed. No one believed in either one of you, it sounds like, from what I'm hearing from both locker rooms.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that's just how it goes. Like sometimes even when you're the best, like people still don't believe in you and you got to work on it. Just like my son over here is making all the noise in the world and really just poo pooing this entire interview. But yeah, I'll tell you this. I'll say one thing. I'm going to go out and guarantee it right now. The thing that you're going to look for this weekend that's going to come out, the final score, what it's going to be is 31-17 Chiefs. We're coming out. We're going to have ourselves a love story afterwards. I heard that Taylor and Travis are going to get engaged after the game. So everyone's going to win. The NFL is going to win. All the Swifties are going to win. And the Chiefs are going to win. So it's a win, win, win. 31-17. You heard it here first, Chiefs.
Love it. What a thrill. Spoiler alert notwithstanding. I love it. Getting to talk to number 15. What a thrill for us. Hey, do us a favor, would you, Patrick? Give our best to Travis and all the Swifties out there. I hope this doesn't trip you up too much. I do believe in you. And you know what? I think all the people in Arrowhead aren't masochists. I think they believe in you too. I don't want to, you know, mess with your head though in advance of this game. I want you to do one other thing for me. I want you to say goodbye to our great friend, Joey Molinaro, and have to come again sooner rather than later. And I mean, in front of free agency, because his Pittsburgh Steelers, I know you're the one with all the trophies and everything, but the Steelers still matter too, Patrick. And so me and Molinaro have to kibitz and figure out what the Steelers need to do in free agency and the draft, or shame the devil. Maybe we have to work out a Justin Fields trade. We'll see what we can do with that. But in the meantime, great thanks to you, Mahomes, and have a great Super Bowl week.
All right, Shaq. No one believes in us. Just remember that. You and Spaghetti both, and now you don't. So talk to you then.
Well, I mean, but I do. And stop saying I don't. I mean, you don't even know what I think. I'm telling you I do. I am going to take the Niners. Anyway, Joey Molinaro, you're the best. Obviously, you already are following on social media. If you aren't, fix that ASAP. Best to you, the missus, the little guy. about to become four. Good times await that little kid. And we can't wait to hear her reaction to the Mike Tomlin impression when it's finally ready for public. Or she'll be, she's the testing ground, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, they all are here in this household. But no, I appreciate it. Sorry for all the noisiness and the craziness from my boy here. But no, you guys are the best. Always appreciate it. And hopefully, I don't know. Well, you got to get you out to Indy for the combine or something. I know you can't travel for the Steelers, Colts or something, but we'd love to see you. Love to host you out here. It'd be a great time. So thanks, guys.
I'll be out there, if not before, for an Indiana Hoosiers football game. I know. Why do I do these things to myself? but yes, when I do that, I will, we'll stop for some beers with Papa Molinaro. Hey, thanks for all the time, pal. Let's talk sooner rather than later, like I say.
Absolutely, Sheck. Talk to you.
And now a quick break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, there he goes, Eddie Spaghetti. Final thoughts.
I mean, great impressions as always. Don't agree that the Chiefs are the underdogs compared to Brock Purdy. But yeah, and I think to go back, the Caleb Williams stuff, the draft is going to be very, very interesting. Seems like he posted on social media that he is pushing in a sense to go to the Commanders with Cliff Kingsbury. He did not post anything on social media when the Bears made their hire for their OC. So that is something to be, to follow there. And plus, like, what is the deal with Justin Fields? That's going to be the crux of this draft. So I know the Super Bowl is upcoming, but I am quite excited for how this draft shakes out.
Well, let me just say, maybe I should have said this at the top of the show. Obviously, the story this week is the Super Bowl. You'll hear heaps and heaps about it, and we will definitely cover it with Hench later in the week, and we'll do the 15-minute pregame show. All hash will be settled there. I think it's fun to talk about some other football matters, and of course, we had to stop down to talk about the game of prize fighting and the greatest game of all, the game of life. Shout out to Creed one last time there. We had important business. We had priorities to get to, but I thought Molinaro was dynamite today, and yeah, we'll have him back on to figure out what the Steelers need to do. Go get Justin Fields. Resign Mason Rudolph, get Ryan Tannehill, roll with Pickett. We got to figure that out with many important matters to deal with. There are only two teams playing now. The other 30 teams are looking around for lessons to be learned from these two teams playing in the Super Bowl. We'll chop that stuff up later in the week and on the other side of the Super Bowl and try and figure out what lessons there are to be gleaned from the Chiefs and the Niners. And before that, we will get you right for all of that. I told you at the top of the show, Extra Points Network, getting you right all the way, every base covered. I guess I shouldn't say base covered because it's a football game, but you know what I'm saying. Welcome back, hockey. It's been too long. Where the hell did you go? We'll talk about all of that. But in the meantime, for Eddie Spaghetti, Joey Molinaro, and everybody at the Extra Points Network, enjoy the week. We'll talk to you in a couple of days. Until then, thanks so much. It's been a thin slice ahead.